Hello and welcome to the Byron York Show, the No Chit Chat podcast. We like to get right into it, and what we're going to get into today is this enormous, gargantuan hearing held by the House January 6th committee, and about how deeply flawed this entire committee effort is. It's pretty clear that the January 6th committee, one-sided, selected entirely by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, had its greatest hit on Tuesday, but it also revealed its greatest weakness. If you remember, in the days leading up to it, Democrats sold the hearing as an urgent matter. It wasn't on the schedule, but the committee leaders hastily announced that they were going to hold a surprise session to present recently obtained evidence. Now, they didn't say what the recently obtained evidence was. And the interesting thing is, after the hearing, we're still not sure. We don't know what they've had for a long time, what they recently obtained. I don't know. The hearing featured a woman named Cassidy Hutchinson. She's a former top aide to Mark Meadows when he was the White House chief of staff in the Trump White House. Now, Liz Cheney, the vice chair of the committee, announced during the hearing that Cassidy Hutchinson had, quote, already sat for four videotaped interviews with committee investigators. So this was not the first, the second, the third, or the fourth time they had heard from Cassidy Hutchinson in an official context. It was the fifth time they'd heard from her a lot. Now, if you were familiar with any of the coverage of this, you saw how big a deal it was to many in the news media. The two big headlines from her testimony were that President Trump, quote, sought to lead armed mob to Capitol. That's how the Washington Post put it in a headline. Or how President Trump urged armed supporters to Capitol. That's how the New York Times put it. Now, the other headline, that's one headline. The other headline was that Hutchinson portrayed an out-of-control Trump who was so determined to go to the Capitol with his armed mob that he physically attacked a Secret Service official who told him, no, there's not enough security for a president to just drive down to the Capitol and cheer on his supporters with no advanced preparation. Cannot be done. Got to go back to the White House. That Trump, when he hears this from the Secret Service, he physically attacks the Secret Service agents. Okay, so those are the two big headlines from Hutchinson's testimony. Now, remember, before we start going into this, we already know that Trump exercised atrocious judgment on January 6th. He had whipped up the crowd with his speech at the Ellipse, but also with tweets and statements in the preceding days. He was happy to see them march on the Capitol. And when a relatively small number of people who had attended the rally ended up in an ugly hand-to-hand battle with Capitol Police, Trump was happy to see his supporters fighting, he thought, on his behalf. He had to be pressured into calling them off. And then it was only hours after the violence began. So, what did Cassidy Hutchinson add to this picture that we already know? Well, she added details that just make the story, that stick in people's minds. An unhinged Donald Trump lunging at the Secret Service agent. An unhinged Donald Trump throwing his lunch plate at a wall, leaving ketchup dripping down the wall. An unhinged Donald Trump demanding that his supporters, armed with AR-15 rifles and handguns and big flagpoles that they were going to use as spears, that all of them be admitted to his rally. Because as Hutchinson said, that Trump said, quote, they're not here to hurt me. In the morning before Trump's Ellipse speech, that's on the morning of January 6th, Hutchinson said that she had talked with Tony Ornato. He was the White House Deputy Chief of Staff for Operations. He oversaw, for example, the Secret Service. Now, she said that Ornato told her and Mark Meadows, her boss, the Chief of Staff, that the crowd that had come to the Trump speech was armed. Quote, I remember Tony mentioning knives, guns in the form of pistols and rifles, bear spray, body armor, spears and flagpoles. That's her talking. Now, Liz Cheney added some more. She said the Secret Service, using their magnetometers that people have to pass through to get into the speech area, The Secret Service had confiscated weapons and pepper spray, knives, brass knuckles, tasers, body armor, gas masks, baton, blunt weapons. Now, Cheney added, those were just from the people who chose to go through the security magnetometers for the president's event on the Ellipse. Not, this is Liz Cheney again, not the several thousand members of the crowd who refused to go through the mags and watched from the lawn near the Washington Monument. Now then, Cassidy gets to what has been called the smoking gun of this hearing. She said that Trump knew the crowd was armed, and he still wanted them to come to his rally. He wanted the Secret Service to shut down the magnetometers and just let everybody in. Now, Hutchinson testified that the president said something to the effect of, take the effing mags away. They're not here to hurt me. Let them in. Let my people in. They can march to the Capitol after the rallies are over. They can march from the Ellipse. Take the effing mags away. Then they can march to the Capitol. Okay, so that's what that led to the headlines. Trump sought to lead armed crowd to Capitol. He wanted the Secret Service to shut down security specifically so his supporters could keep their arms, keep their weapons, in which they would need to attack the Capitol. Okay, so this was all planned by Trump, and he had this armed mob, and he wanted the armed mob to be able to go without any interference to the Capitol to attack the Capitol. Now, why, in fact, is that the whole story? Why, in fact, did Trump want to shut down security at the rally? The answer was in the testimony. Hutchinson said that Trump wanted to shut down security for the most Trumpian of reasons. He wanted the crowd to be bigger. Trump is obsessed with big crowds. You know that. You've watched him for years. The rally space was not full that morning. Now, this is classic Trump. Trump was worried that photographs would show that he had not attracted a sellout crowd. Now, this is according to Cassidy Hutchinson. So he ordered agents to let everybody in to beef up the crowd. Quote, he was very concerned about the shot, meaning the photograph that we would get. This is Cassidy Hutchinson testifying. He was very concerned about the shot, meaning the photograph that we would get, because the rally space was not full. He wanted it to be full, and for people to not feel excluded because they had come far to watch him at the rally. And he felt the mags were at fault for not letting everybody in. So, that's Cassidy Hutchinson talking. Now, Trump wanted a full house. It's obvious. Trump always wants a full house. And then he wants to tell the crowd that there are thousands more waiting outside, unable to get in because the house is full. That is what Trump does. Anybody who's watched him at all has heard him do the same thing over and over and over again about how big the crowd is, how many people have come there, many, many more waiting outside who are unlucky and can't get in because we're all filling up whatever space we're in. That's what Trump does. So the idea, again, is that the crowd that has not gone through security is armed, and they're going to head to the Capitol and use those arms to attack the Capitol. So how armed were they? This was not something that the committee got into, and it's not something that I can recall that the committee has ever spoken about in public. Recent reports say that the Justice Department has charged, you know, it's the biggest investigation in Justice Department history. They've charged 874 people so far in the Capitol riot investigation, a huge, sprawling investigation. 874 people, a relatively small number of those have been charged with weapons-related offenses, and a tiny subset of that number has been charged with firearms-related offenses. So I know this because last October, when the number of total arrests was about 750, so fewer than today, but a lot of people, 750 people had been charged. I looked through every case of weapons-related offenses in the Capitol riot prosecutions. Some of the rioters were charged with using flagpoles as weapons, with using shields as weapons, with using helmets as weapons, and then with using other objects as weapons. One rioter was charged with using a skateboard as a weapon. Another was charged with using a desk drawer as a weapon. So, fairly small group. Now, as far as guns were concerned, at that time, only 5 people out of around 750 were charged with possessing a firearm. One of those people charged with possessing a firearm was not even in Washington when the riot occurred. And none were charged with using a firearm. As you know, no rioter discharged a firearm at any time during the riot, even when the hand-to-hand combat with rioters attacking the police, even when that became very, very intense. Most of the weapons in the crowd actually were improvised. If you look through all the cases, they were something that does something else, like a flagpole or a desk drawer or a shield, which were called into duty, improvised as a weapon. Now, that doesn't mean they aren't weapons. You can hurt people with a desk drawer. But it does suggest that the rioters did not come intent on armed violence. So, 5 people out of the whole group, no rioter discharged a firearm at any time during the riot. That is the, quote, armed crowd that Trump wanted to get through the magnetometers so they could head down to the Capitol and attack the Capitol on his behalf. And he knew and planned it all. Okay, Hutchinson's other big hit. That was kind of the big first big hit of Hutchinson. The other big hit is Trump just completely losing it, completely out of control inside the presidential limousine. And we're going to talk about that next.
The evidence is clear. More guns, less crime. So why is there a relentless push for more gun control? On the latest edition of The Bill Walton Show, I talk with Dr. John Lott of the Crime Prevention Research Center about why mass shootings occur and how telling the truth about guns got him fired and how the media are only interested in one side of this debate. Join us. Follow The Bill Walton Show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, I said that I was going to talk about Cassidy Hutchinson's other big hit, Trump in the presidential limousine, and I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. Did want to say, if you've been listening to the podcast, hopefully enjoying it, and even more hopefully learning something from it, it would be really great, if you could subscribe to the podcast. You can do it on iTunes, anywhere you get your podcast would be deeply, deeply appreciated. So, the other big hit from Cassidy Hutchinson is what happens inside the presidential limousine when Trump is leaving the rally, when a frantic Donald Trump, according to Cassidy Hutchinson, tried to grab the steering wheel of the presidential SUV to direct it toward the Capitol. And then when a Secret Service agent, the head of his detail, tried to stop the president throttled the Secret Service agent, put his hands around his neck. So that's the Cassidy Hutchinson story here. Now, by the way, there's been some confusion about what car Trump was in. It was referred to as the Beast in the hearing, and a lot of people immediately assumed it was the huge Cadillac that's sort of like a sedan, more like a tank, that the president travels in usually. But the president also sometimes travels in armored SUVs. And on this day, January 6th, from the rally at the Ellipse, he was in an armored SUV and not in what's commonly known as the Beast. So anyway, Cassidy Hutchinson says that Trump is at the rally. He has told the crowd that they should go to the Capitol and that he, Donald Trump, was going to go with them. So he gets in the car and he wants to go to the Capitol. Now, I should say that nothing was planned at the Capitol. So let's say the Secret Service said, yes, sir, we'll go to the Capitol. What was going to happen? Who knows? There wasn't a plan. There wasn't security. There just wasn't anything. It was total chaos. And it would have been insane to put the President of the United States down in the middle of a situation like that. So the Secret Service didn't do it. And according to Cassidy Hutchinson, when Secret Service refused to take him to the Capitol and instead took him back to the White House, Trump physically attacked him. Now, Hutchinson's story got a little cloudy. And I have to say, it was very, very exciting to many people in the press. They were just amazed by this. Trump was totally unhinged, and they thought it was a heck of a story. Now, the story got a little cloudy after the testimony, when a number of news organizations reported that sources close to the Secret Service denied that the physical conflict, Trump attacking the Secret Service, ever occurred. These sources said that the Secret Service, the head of the protection group, Robert Engel, and the Deputy Chief of Staff, Tony Ornato, were both prepared to testify that it did not happen. So I'm going to read you a tweet from NBC's Peter Alexander. So this is not in the right-wing press or anything. A source close to the Secret Service says both men, that's Robert Engel and Tony Ornato, both men dispute Trump grabbed the steering wheel or assaulted an agent. They do not deny that Trump was irate and demanded they drive to the Capitol. Now, the Washington Post's Carol Leonig, who has covered and even written a book about the Secret Service, tweeted, "Sources tell me Secret Service agents dispute that Donald Trump assaulted any agent or tried to grab the steering wheel on January 6th. They agree Trump was furious about not being able to go to the Capitol with his supporters. They offer to testify under oath." So those two tweets are very, very consistent there. Now, here's the baffling part. A Secret Service spokesman told Peter Alexander that the agents who were inside Trump's SUV, the witnesses to this, are, quote, available to testify under oath, responding to Cassidy Hutchinson's new allegations. And you look at that and you say, new allegations? Wait a minute. She spoke to the committee four times over the past several months. She just now came up with this spectacular story? Did she just now come up with this dramatic story of Trump trying to wrest the wheel of the SUV from the Secret Service? Did she withhold it until now? Usually, congressional committees really don't like that. They don't like it when you withhold information from them, but what's the story? And then we found out this. If you're watching this hearing and you're seeing Cassidy Hutchinson say that these people told me, Robert Engel and Tony Ornato told me that in the car, Trump had tried to grab the steering wheel, etc. You know, you're listening to the testimony, and even somebody who is not a highly trained news professional would say, wow, that's really something. What did the Secret Service guys say? I mean, they were right there in the car. What did they say? We never came up. What we found out, Engel, the Secret Service agent that Trump allegedly tried to throttle, he has already spoken to the January 6th committee. Did you know that? Not from watching the hearing, you didn't. 3 weeks ago, Politico reported that Engel told the committee that in the SUV, he and Trump, quote, discuss Trump's desire to go to the Capitol and took different views on the topic. Now, the reporter for Politico, Betsy Woodruff Swan, noted that a Secret Service spokesman said the service has, quote, fully cooperated with the Congressional January 6th probe and that Secret Service personnel appeared before the panel without having to be subpoenaed. So the Secret Service is saying, look, we have cooperated entirely. And Agent Engel has already talked to the January 6th committee. Did Liz Cheney say even a word about that? I mean, you're listening to this account from Cassidy Hutchinson, who was not in the car, and she's saying, this is what the guys in the car told me. And you think to yourself, well, what about the guys in the car? Where are they? Have you talked to them? Well, Liz Cheney gave no, and no one else on the committee either, gave any indication that they had. So at this hearing, neither Cheney nor any other member of the committee mentioned that Engel had already spoken to the committee. So a casual listener would listen to Hutchinson and say, what's with the Secret Service guys? What did they say? We don't know. The committee didn't say it. The committee already had their version of events and did not tell the public about it. Now, this does not mean you shouldn't jump to the conclusion that Cassidy Hutchinson is lying. It does mean that her testimony was not subjected to the kind of basic scrutiny that witnesses receive in a normal congressional investigation. We've talked about this before. In a normal investigation, there is an opposition party, and the party is there to ask questions. There is an opposition party to note when the majority is trying to hide something. There's an opposition party to compare what one witness has said to what another witness has said. There is, in other words, an adversarial system that is essential to fact-finding. On the January 6th committee, on the other hand, all of its members, including two Republicans, were appointed by Speaker Pelosi, and all, every single one, is in lockstep on the issues. It does not have that essential adversarial system. If there were at least one opposition party member on the committee, that person would have spoken up in the committee, on the dais, and said, hey, wait a minute. We've already talked to Robert Engel. We need to hear what he has to say. How come we're not mentioning him? Can you imagine that? That would have blown up the whole TV show. He didn't appear. That person didn't exist. Okay. So it's clear that the enormous flaw, the fundamental flaw of this committee is that it's one-sided, and that one side leaves or creates the opportunity for the majority to ignore things that they don't want to talk about and to present only the evidence they want you to know about. It didn't matter. People in the press, many of them, just loved it. They just loved the show. What a great show. There were credulous reporters who swooned, I mean swooned, at the presentation. It was so unlike, so different from other of those really boring committee hearings we've been to that last all day, and they take a dinner break and they last all night and they just put you to sleep. A lot of these reporters seemed to know they were being manipulated and they liked it. I'm going to read to you from Mike Allen, a highly respected journalist with Axios, and he noted that the media consultant for the committee, the former ABC News president James Gholston, we've talked about him. He was hired to turn January 6th into a TV show. And Mike Allen wrote that Gholston, quote, has been producing each hearing as if it were a 2020 episode, raw enough to be credible, but scripted enough to sell the story in the allotted time. Now, Mike Allen marveled at the committee's, quote, deep teases, as TV News calls it, hinting at future testimony and leaving the audience wanting more. Yesterday's barn burner ended with a cliffhanger. Allen concluded that the committee has, quote, orchestrated a riveting 6 episodes with the season finale still to come. It's really kind of amazing when you think about the subject matter of this hearing, what's going on. But that's how it was viewed. And by the way, just so you know, the cliffhanger to which Allen referred was Cheney's tease at the very end of the hearing about possible witness tampering. I mean, just minutes before they're all wrapping up, giving their final statements, and minutes before the hearing is gaveled to a close, Cheney read a couple of anonymous quotes that suggested somebody in Trump world had tried to intimidate witnesses. Now, that's a self-evidently serious allegation. That's a serious thing if somebody's trying to intimidate witnesses. But they bring this up. There were no identities, no details, no context, no story. So Cheney just brings it up, signs off with a tease that says, in effect, stay tuned for the next exciting episode. It's a cliffhanger. It's a barn burner. What a show. So that's what we saw. That's what we saw on Tuesday. Now look, January 6th was a serious event, and the actions of President Trump, along with the actions of the portion of the crowd that attacked the Capitol, in other words, the rioters, deserve serious, balanced scrutiny. They are not getting it from the one-sided January 6th committee. And their big hearing, their greatest hits, was the greatest illustration of the flaw in the committee, which is that it is one-sided and does not have the adversarial process that is essential to fact-finding. That is an unfixable problem with this committee. They're not going to change. It's all going to be one-sided. They're marching in lockstep, and we're not going to find out about any information that they don't want us to hear. An adversarial system would have changed that, but that's not the way it works. So that's what I wanted to talk about today. A lot of people talking about it. Thank you for listening. Always appreciate it when you can listen, and hope you'll join us again soon for another edition of the Byron York Show.
The Supreme Court upholds the Second Amendment. 4 Senate Democrats try to bully Google over search results on abortion. And the FDA bans Juul vaping products. I'm Greg Corumbus. Join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the 3 Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day for conservatives, and hopefully a lot of laughs too. Join us. Follow the 3 Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.